Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, it's me, it's your girl, Dr. Tanji. And you already know what day it is. You know what time it is. And we are about to have a really good time today on the Dr. Tanji Show. I cannot, of course, don't even want to do the show without my wonderful co-hosts, Niles and KJ. Guys, how are you?
Hey,
we're good.
Hey, what's up?
We're good.
Yep, are you ready here for this show? This show is going to be exciting. I'm just at a loss of words because last week we had the wonderful privilege of talking about principles of dealing with your emotions, right? This week we're going to segue into a topic that all of us really kind of know something about, love and relationships, but we're going to come from a different perspective. And then we're going to introduce to you a couple that's truly a powerhouse couple, and my spiritual son and mentor, Ron and Monique Davis, and they're coming in their own way. And then we're going to, at the bottom of the hour, have another How Did I Get Here moment. But before all of that great, let's talk. Let's just delve into it, guys. All right. Each one of us have something to say about love and relationships. Would you agree?
I would agree, because we all come with totally different, unique experiences.
All right. Yep. Very good. Very good. With that being said, I'm going to take the perspective as a married woman. Okay. KJ, you'll take the perspective as being in a relationship. And Niles, he's getting ready to be in a relationship. How about that?
We're going to focus on in between the process of single to a relationship. We're going to cover that ground right there.
All right. Okay. Very good. So I'll start. Love and relationships are synonymous with, for me, God and the relationship that I have with Him. So all of my relationships are kind of based on that perspective, especially my marriage. I look at my husband as a type of small L-O-R-D. I am submitted to him as he is submitted to him, right? So wherever he goes, I'll follow. If he were not to follow him, then we'd have a problem. So from that perspective, the love that I have for my husband is the same love, of course, that I have for God, but it's that love where it's consistent and constant, and it's not predicated on if he's made me angry, like not opening the door this morning when I went out for a run. And he's listening to me, so I hope you hear that, sir. But love is, or it's the definition, of course, God is love, but love is a responsibility. At the end of the day, for me, I am responsible whenever I say I love either him or relationship that I'm in with various people. Love means something. It's just not a word filler. So I'll yield, and I really want to hear your perspective, KJ, because you're in a relationship, and it's fun, and it's exciting, right?
Yes. Well, fairly new as it is. I just came out from being single. Now I'm in a relationship. So for me, the biggest focus is like, how do I still remain single and still learn about my significant other? I'll be honest, it's a challenge. It's a lot of balancing, because like, you were in a season in your life where like, oh, I just have to focus on me. I don't need anybody else. I'm all good. But now I have somebody who I have to take care of and look out for as well. Just keep in mind, and also to make sure that, hey, okay, are we on the same page? Do we need to be forward? And where do you see yourself in the next couple of years? So we all always have to have that conversation of like, what's the end game here? Do you want to get in it, or is this something for just one? So it's kind of like you always have to have that dialogue of like, okay, where are we checking in on each other and still remain true to your singleness as well.
Absolutely. And then Niles, of course, we have to kind of segue into where you are right now.
In the middle.
What is that for you? Because technically, aside from the relationship that you have with him, you're kind of in a relationship with yourself.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say that. A lot of people run from doing the work, like the internal work and so on. And I think it's important to learn from whatever experiences you had prior to and not try to maintain this image of perfection within your mind and within yourself, because what you're doing is basically accruing baggage and you're taking it from one situation to the next situation. And unfortunately, you have a lot of folks who, you know, who are kind of, you know, develop like a form of a delusion, and they're just not very honest with themselves. So like in their mind, they may have this idea of a perfect relationship and, oh, you know, he's going to bring me flowers and he's always going to open the door and rub my big toe, you know, because sometimes my big toe hurts, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, you have all these, you know, you have this list, this laundry list of things that you want from the other person. But are you actually able to reciprocate those things? And are you coming to the situation whole, or at least close to whole? A lot of us get in situations because we're looking for other people to complete us or help fill those voids. And, you know, that's the quickest way to get somebody to run away, because, you know, you shouldn't get in a relationship for someone to, you know, fix you and fulfill all those holes that you have within yourself. Like, that's the internal work that you have to do. And naturally, like, in life, we're all going to take hits. We're all going to have, like, those bumps and bruises and those cuts, you know, and it's up to you to kind of heal those cuts on your own. Not on your own, of course, you know, with God. But a lot of folks look to other people to heal those cuts. And that's work you have to do, because not only is that person, the other person, dealing with their situation, they have to take on yours as well. Like, come on now. Like, yeah. Let's be fair. Yeah. Let's be honest. And yeah, so like it's intricate, and it's a lot of work prior to, like, the preparation, you know, into getting into a relationship. And then after that, like, maintaining, because a lot of us come with this mindset of these ideals and, you know, these ideas, you know, of what something should be. And it's never as clear as that. You know, you're dealing with two different people who come from two different backgrounds, whether you're dealing with trauma and this and that. You know, that's why it's also important to understand the idea of forgiveness. Because for me, love is forgiveness. We have to forgive each other each and every day. Because naturally, like, when you're in close proximity and you're within the same space, you guys are going to irritate each other, say things and so on. And it's important not to hold people to higher standards than we hold ourselves to, you know.
And I'm glad you said that. Yes. And not to cut you off, but I'm so glad you said that, because the next guest, our first guest, really embodies everything that you said and so much more. She's Unique Simpson Davis, and she is the founder of Kingdom Voice Publishing. She's also the joint pastor of the Place of Our Sanctuary in Dallas, Texas. And yeah, she's a friend of mine. How about that? So let's welcome, please, the beautiful Unique Simpson Davis.
Welcome.
And we've got just a plethora of things to discuss, because we're dealing with love and relationships. You and Rod and I can really kind of testify to how very important it is to have that kind of open honesty and sincerity when you're dealing in relationships. So we'll get to that at the bottom of the hour for sure. But thank you so very much for agreeing to come on the show. How are you, lady?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So here's what I'm asking now. As a co-pastor, as a woman of faith, as a mother, now a nearly C-minute businesswoman who owns a publishing company. I mean, who does that? What are you learning from all of the roles now that you're playing and still maintain some type of, I guess, balance, if that's a word?
I think it cut out just a little bit. I hope you guys can hear me really
well. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. How are you able to do everything that you're doing and still make sense of what you're doing?
The best way to me is identifying the fact that it's all of it is combined, I guess, so to speak. All of it, my family is my first ministry, my business is ministry, my partnership with my husband, all of it's tied together for me. And so it's just like there's nothing lacking. There's nothing that, you know, stands out more than the rest. All of it is just equal as far as who I am and my responsibility to my family and to the world. So for me, there's really no separation, I guess I should say. There's really no separation. It just is it is what it is. And there's the only thing that I could do is to offer my best self, you know, to my family, to my business, to those I minister to and lead. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. KJ, it looks like you just want to jump in there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
I know we had you on Talk to Tanji. We had you help Ramona with her publishing her book. I just want to know, like, where did your publishing company come from? I know before, just like where it came from. I just tried to add another question to it, but yeah, where did it come from, and like, how did you get to the place you are?
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Honestly, I was sitting on the bed one day. And well, if you don't know the word, I was called off of my job in 2013. And so for a period of 5 years, my instructions were simply to rest. And at the beginning of January 2018, which had been basically, you know, about 5 years since I had worked a secular job, I literally said, "Father, what do you want me to do next?" And he said, "You're going to start a publishing company." Okay. You know, I just had no idea okay, I'll do it. And so I formed the company, I legalized it. And so it's been formed since 2018. And what he said was, "You're going to start the publishing company and then you're going to get your master's in business." So the company was formed out of obedience. I then proceeded to go to school and learn business. My husband is a business genius. I am not. And so I learned business. And I studied in the process of my studies, I studied another publishing company, one of the big five publishing companies. And so I studied and I learned business and I graduated with my MBA. And I then began working on a doctorate degree. And then I just simply said, "Okay, Father, you know, it was impressed upon me that it was time to launch." And with God-given strategy, I launched on May 27th, which was my birthday. I've decided to give myself a birthday gift every year. And that was the gift that I gave myself this year.
Okay. Wow. I'm interested in knowing about that 5 year, you know, process between 2013 and 2018, like that little bridge. I'm sure it wasn't easy, especially when you're, you know, you laid off or whatever the situation is. And then, you know, it's hard to start your own idea and your own, you know, venture. So tell us about that process, because I'm sure it was some rigid and it was rigid in there. It was rigid. Yeah.
That process was difficult, to say the least. It was difficult in that the Lord took me off of my job, took me through a process of relying and trusting completely on Him. What I tell people is, as people, not just women, but men, many of us, what we're doing as we are plotting and planning our life, we build a fortress. And this fortress, in this fortress, we find safety and we're comfortable. And so when he took me off my job, he was tearing down the fortress that I created. And so I, was going through a lot. And he kept saying, "You're not going through anything." I'm like, "Father, you do not see what I'm going through. I had to lose some things. I had to give up some things." And what he said was, "You're simply losing control and you're having to rely on me." And so the book, that my first book that I published, details that particular particular period of my life. And so fast forward, then he tells me, when I say, what is all of this for? He says, you're going to get married. He says, and I needed to tear down this fortune so that you could be the wife to this husband that I'm getting ready to, you know, send your way. And so in that process, we get married, we have children, and I would have children come in and say, oh, daddy works so hard and Unique is a good cook. Okay. So for me, I had so many days and nights of crying and feeling unfulfilled and saying that I'm more than this and that this is just God's doing, but people didn't understand it. And so trying to prove myself a lot, trying to explain to people why I wasn't working, why I wasn't helping this man, because, you know, it's 2000 and whatever, and that's just not what we do. Women don't sit home, let the man work anymore. And so, yeah, you're right. It was a roller coaster. It was a roller coaster. It took me some time to settle into it. And now when I'm able to wake up and commit my own day, no, trust me, I'm over that now.
Wow.
Like, why does it take for us to be going, like, broken down to our knees for us to, like, really change? I'll change, tweak here. As long as I keep my fortress, as long as I keep, but it literally took, I'm knocking everything down. And you're gonna love this, what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting what you're saying. It was like your vision versus God's vision.
Come on.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have this idea in your head, you know, which is self-generated, and then there was a bigger picture. And it's like things were worked on simultaneously. It wasn't just that one thing or two things you were focusing on, sent you a husband and all that other stuff. So he was preparing you just to launch in general.
Absolutely.
In general.
Wow.
And if I can add to that, just so you guys, it wasn't even just me. It was our culture. It was generational. It was everything we've been taught. We've been taught, baby girl, you better have your own. You better do this. Don't do that. So we're taught to be self-sufficient, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're taught to be independent. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I can say that I've learned is that we have this whole idea of how we should operate. And in doing so, we neglect God's standard. We often neglect God's standard. And what I know that he did for me and my husband was he brought us back and said, I'm going to set you as the example of my standard. And it required some pruning and cultivating processing on my part and on the part of my husband.
Amen. Amen. Wow. And your husband is about to come on. How about that? It is such an honor. It is such an honor, and I'm humbled. I'm like a little kid, man, to introduce a gentleman that I met in 2009 that was sitting at New Birth Church with me, looking at my Bible. I had no idea. We can go over that story. But when he introduced the kingdom and the kingdom concept to me, I ran for years and years. It was foreign to me. Brother, I don't want to hear what you're talking. But little did I know that this man had the patience of Job. And not only is he a premier businessman and he knows business and he has funded a few of my deals, but he's also just a well-spoken, well-versed co-pastor of the church, as well as the husband to this beautiful woman. And his name is none other than Ronald Davis. Hello.
Praise peace.
Why, how are you?
I am doing well.
Wonderful. All right. I'm sorry, KJ. KJ's gonna get me for that, but I have to see his face.
I just wanna like acknowledge that the brightest smile just hit Unique's face when her perfect came on screen. Like, acknowledge that. I'm looking at Unique and she's like, oh my gosh.
Oh,
that's the sweetest thing I've seen.
Thank you guys for this.
Absolutely. Welcome, Ryan. How are you, sir?
All is well.
All is well. All is well. You know, I've got to kind of segue into that story. You and I, sitting in the same congregation, you noticed that I had a Bible like yours, isn't that right?
Right.
And lo and behold, that's how the introduction to, you know what? I look at you, lady, and I'm looking at a multimillionaire. And this is so foreign to me, right? And he just kept on and on, and he has poured into me so much. Ron, I just want you to be who you are. And I mean that. Yes, you do business. Yes, you know, you do funding and financing, but you are, there's so much more. Who is Ron Davis?
Wow. That's a good question. Ronald Davis is an apostle, a father, husband. I am a kingdom teacher and practitioner. I'm a man who loves God, first and foremost, above everything else. I'm a man who loves God. And I believe that alone is the key to success in any area of life, at least success in God's eyes. Because I could give you titles, I could give you accolades, I could tell you what I can do, I could give you all the information in the world, but I don't know God. If I don't love God, it means nothing.
Wow. Now, do you see why I'd say that he is my mentor and spiritual son, guys? Do you see that? Do you see that? Yeah. I'll yield the floor. Go ahead, Niles. You want to jump in there? I'm looking at you.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, so calm and collected and smooth. I like that. So it takes time to get to that point. So I'm learning as he's talking.
Ron, would you, in your words and in the words and the verbiage that you know to be true because it is written, will you please tell everyone who's listening to this Dr. Tommy show, whether in their car, whether in their home, or will be listening to it after we are live today, what is the kingdom of God?
Well, I hope you got your notebooks ready. That's it. What is the kingdom of God?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's a book by itself.
But I know.
I'm going to present it in a short format that all can understand.
Thank you, sir.
In order to understand any particular concept, you have to understand it in light of its original setting. The term kingdom itself means one thing, but the kingdom of God means something totally different. Even the term kingdom itself in its original setting differs from our understanding of a kingdom today. The kingdom, or a kingdom, per se, is the realm ruled by a king, a monarchy, for the most part, is how we understand it from a modern standpoint. But when you look at it, when you say the kingdom of God, this is a biblical concept. This is not a worldly concept. So the kingdom of God has to be understood in light of the historical setting of the scripture. And when we take that approach, we will find out that the word kingdom is not just a realm ruled by a king, but it has more to do with the authority to rule, the kingship, the sovereignty, or the rule of a king that's being exercised. The concept of kingdom in the Greek is basileia, the Hebrew or the Aramaic word is mulkoth. It carries the idea of sovereignty. It carries the idea of authority. It carries the idea of reign. It carries the idea of rulership and kingship. With that being said, the realm is always secondary in meaning. Because if I only see the kingdom as a realm to enter, then I would miss the significance of what Jesus meant when he says, it's my Father's good pleasure to give it to you. How can he give me something to enter? But when I understand the kingdom as the reign of God, if I understand the kingdom as kingship, if I understand the kingdom as sovereignty, then I understand that when he says, it's my Father's good pleasure to give it to you, that means that God has given me the authority to exercise dominion. He's given me the authority to exercise rulership. So in some sense or another, we can understand kingdom to be a king's dominion. There's a lot of teachers on this particular subject who refer to the kingdom as a king's domain. But a king's domain is a limiting understanding of the kingdom. And it's not just a king's domain. It's the king's dominion. It's the authority, the rulership, the sovereignty of that particular king. His sovereign will being enforced in the rule, I mean, in the realm. Understand what I'm saying? So without the rain, the realm would never, without the rain, the realm would never reflect the glory of the king. And until the reign is fully established, then we can call the realm the kingdom. Understand what I'm saying? So when we pray thy kingdom come. We're not praying for a realm to come. We're praying for the authority of God, the kingship of God, to be seen on earth in the same manner that it's seen in heaven. Understand what I'm saying? So that gives you an understanding from it, you know, if I could kind of summarize what it means from a biblical standpoint as it relates to the kingdom word, the word kingdom concept, the word kingdom itself has more to do with the reign of a king, all right? Secondly, let me add to that real quick. From a theological perspective, the kingdom of God, from a theological perspective, is the exercising of divine sovereignty through surrogate rulers he created in his image and after his likeness. I'm going to say that again. Because it's the reign of God doesn't need to come in the sense of God's rule over all things, because we already know God is a ruler over all things. But the kingdom program involves humankind. What we're praying for is for God's kingdom to come through the offspring that he created in his image and after his likeness. So the kingdom of God is a theological concept, is about God delegating sovereignty, dominion to mankind, that his kingdom will be seen in the physical world that will reflect the reality of his eternal world. Understand what I'm saying? So when we understand it from that perspective, mankind becomes the center of attention in order for the kingdom to be manifested. That means God's kingdom can't come without you.
Amen.
So at the core, we can say this. At the core of kingdom is the idea of divine sovereignty being administrated through human beings. That's the core. The core idea of kingdom is divine sovereignty not being exercised over human, but being exercised through humans. God is not just looking to get this kingdom over you. That's already said. That's why he can judge you. What he's looking to do is get his kingdom in you, that his kingdom will come through you, and that the world will see God in everything that you say and do.
Amen.
Is that Dr. Miles Monroe right there? Because that's all I heard. That's all I saw.
Did I not tell
you?
I talked about your wrong here. I did. And the reason I asked this question, because we're going to play a game at the bottom of the hour. We're going to spill the tea. But before we get there, I wanted to specifically and purposefully ask you that question, because this show is called, or founded rather, on kingdom principles. And those principles are principles, they're disciplines that we use on the show, and we use them in our lives. That's how we live our life. And I really kind of wanted to hone in on why did I have that as a tagline, founded on kingdom principles, because it's not a religion that we are in here, okay? And just before we get to spill the tea, I want to hear the difference, because I'm always harping on it, from religion versus kingdom of God.
Amen, amen. So that's another.
I know. Give me the short version.
Yeah, I'm giving the short version. The short version. Okay. Put it this way: religion is the product of humanity. The kingdom is God's program.
Amen.
And so the best way to kind of look at it is to kind of look at the difference. I'll give you some examples of difference between how a religious person thinks and how a kingdom person thinks. All right. So religious people seek God for what God can do for them. Kingdom people seek God for what God can do through them. Religion wants God to do for, kingdom people want God to do through. Understand, kingdom people understand that their primary purpose for being here is to be a conduit of God's kingdom and God's righteousness. This is why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? He says that the body is more than meat, the body is more than clothes. And what is the body for? The body, your physical existence, is for the purpose of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Kingdom people understand this. The kingdom people understand that It's not about doing to get. It's about being in position to receive in order to demonstrate God in your physical work. It's not about what you can get. It's about being in a position for God to make the deposit that's necessary for him to be seen through you. All right, put it this way. Kingdom people are looking to be the conduit of blessing and not looking to be blessed. Kingdom people recognize that they're already blessed.
Come on.
Kingdom people recognize that they're already healed. They're not seeking God for things. They're seeking God for they can be more available to God. See, kingdom people make themselves more available. Religious people continue to ask for things. Religious people think they can work their way into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God differs greatly from a religion because religion will always fail because it's man's product. It's man's understanding of the world around him. The kingdom is God's plan for humanity. Understand what I'm saying? So put it this way. Religion, another way to look at it too, is religion always focuses on escapism. Religion wants to go somewhere, wants a better life later. Kingdom is about the here and now. Kingdom is about governmental influence right here, right now. It's not about escaping to heaven. Jesus says, I pray not that you can take them out of the world. Why are we praying so much to go to heaven? He says, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil that's in the world. Why? Because kingdom people are here to influence the world around them. Religious people work to keep the world out the church. Kingdom people work to get the church into the world.
Come on, bro. Come on. Come on. Come on. All right. I love you.
I have a quick question.
You can always catch us. You can always stay interactive with us on the Dr. Tanji Show at Dr. Tanji Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget, on Mondays, we have Talk to Tanji. We have guests that come on that either have a product or have an idea, but they're bringing something to the table so that we can go out and get the resource and get the people that's going to be a conduit to get their product from their hand or out of their mind to the marketplace. And I want to definitely thank Unique for being for the last, what, 3 weeks, KJ, on the Talk to the Tanji Show. And she's really from conceptualization to materialization to actually getting that book from Ramona to the printers, and she's doing the editing, and she's got a team. I mean, she's just phenomenal. So thank you so very much for being on the show and being a part of Talk to Tanji. Thank you. Now, we're going to play a game called Spill the Tea. And in Spill the Tea, we're still coming from a perspective of everything love, everything relationships, but I want to ask you guys, and for those who are listening and watching, how did Unique and Rob meet?
How did we meet? You want to answer that?
I'll answer it. I was 17 years old, and I was, I grew up in foster care. It was the last foster home that I was in. God bless her. She's my spiritual mother. But anyway, she introduced me. She said she had this church that she went to, this Church of God in Christ. And I said, oh, no, I already have a church. And so the first Sunday, I had to go to my own church. And I ended up calling her like, yeah, I think I need to come to your church. And anyway, when I got there, there was this little boy, this little 11-year-old boy named Ronald, who just honestly just became, we were literally child, you know, friends and family and married. He married, I married, and we literally considered each other brother and sister. I mean, there was always a bond. I'll actually let him take over from here. Go ahead. To your side.
you know, what the part she kind of left out there is, like, as soon as she came to the church, now, I was a lot younger, obviously, but I had a crush on her. All my friends knew that I had a crush on her. I had no idea I'd grow up and she would be the woman that God had for me. But I guess that was my spirit bearing witness to the fact who she was when I saw her. So anyway, like he said, life kind of happened. You know, she was a lot older than me. It was no chance to be. You know, at 37 and 43, it's not a big deal. But at 11 and 17, it's like, you know, you don't even think twice about, you know, that. At least she wouldn't think twice. I'm, you know, I'm a little boy. The boys, you know, we, you know, we are. Life went on. You know, I was married for almost 10 years. You know, I think she was married for about the same. And later on in life, we both separated and divorced from our spouses, and we happened to run across each other and exchange numbers. Like, this is so happy to see. Like, I think I was more happy to see her than she was me. I was so excited. to see her. And we exchanged numbers, and we didn't start keeping in touch, like, off and on. You know, even then, we didn't think, you know, marriage was a lot. We knew each other's spouses. We came out of the same church. Like, we weren't thinking in terms of marriage when we reconnected. Now, one thing I will say, too, like, after everything is said and done, for whatever reason, I always cared each other. Like, I always wondered about how she was doing, for whatever reasons. You know, for many years have passed, I always wondered how unique her kids were doing. So when we came back together, it was like, wow, I have an opportunity to find out, you know. And so one thing led to another. I'm going to kind of get a little shorter. I'm going to kind of get to the point here. Because we had each other's numbers, we noted the connection. The Lord was dealing with her heavily at the time in the area of prophetic. And, you know, she was just blossoming in the kingdom of God. And God was telling me about this kingdom message. We just started talking, and we looked for connection. And the Lord showed her my faith when I was at another ministry. He came over and served with me at the ministry. We both were youth pastors, and we directed the youth ministry there. And it was during that time that God began to speak to us both and confirm who we were to each other. And it was 3 months. It was literally 3 months after the word went forth that we were married.
Wow. Wow. I know, right? Wow. You know, with so many people.
We those crazy faith people that just do what God said. We figure out, right? Yeah, out later.
Yeah. Pick up and leave and everything.
Say I do, and then, you know, and then we'll fight through getting to know each other, you know?
You know, that would be a bad idea. But with so many people thinking that, you know what, I can just get a divorce if it doesn't work out. What do you guys think on, with us being kind of locked in now, divorcements are on the rise. What do we do? How do we stop the monotony of this?
It's honestly a choice. I remember... we got married, and I remember thinking, you know, someone talked to us briefly and said, you know, well, what's going on? And well, I'm like, oh, I just love him. He's my babe. And he's like, yeah, I just love her. And she said, you know, love is a choice. And I had no clue what that meant, you know. And life would teach us. Like he said, we just said, I do. And then probably literally fought through getting to know each other, literally fought the process. And you just choose. First of all, when this is God ordained, and I said from day one, I'm in an arranged marriage. But when God puts you together, and when you recognize that God is the one that put you together, who are you to decide that you no longer want to do? You can't. Anything that God gives us to do, we say, well, God made this decision to do it. And then we try to make a personal decision to get out of it. And it just really doesn't work that way. And so really just hanging in there, choosing the will of God over our own will. I remember a time where I was at the end of my ropes. And honestly, God literally said to me, the assignment is greater. And so we have, between us, we have 9 children. We have ministry. We have people who look up to us, spiritual sons and daughters. And I tell you, no matter how, no matter what friction there ever was between us, when we get together spiritually, when we get together and partner in ministry, when we get together, we are a force to be reckoned with. To where we both would say, man, I haven't seen that come from two people in a long time. Sometimes one is strong and the other is weak. And so just holding on to that understanding, that wisdom, that the assignment is greater. That means, and I personally made it about me so many times. My husband made it about him so many times. It's really not about us. The assignment is greater. We would be doing the world a disservice if we did not choose love and did not choose each other and did not choose God's will over our own.
That is so interesting that you said that. I'm sorry, Ron, I'll make this little point quick because I want to kind of hone in with what Unique said. The will of God was greater or is greater, right? And then so many people, that service, that's just service in and of itself. So I'll say that. Now, Ron, what were you saying? Forgive me, please.
No, you're fine, because it's right in line with the will of God. One of the things I wanted to say with that is, like, we don't realize in marriage anything that's God ordained. Greatness is always on the other side of nevertheless. Jesus' greatest victory was not casting out demons. Jesus' greatest victory was getting up out of the grave. But there was no grave to get up out of if he never said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When God put two people together, when God puts you in business, no matter what it is that God has called you to do, there is no greatness until you have a moment, you have an emotional breakdown where your will has to be, God, you have to literally choose his will over yours. Jesus says, Father, if it be possible, let me walk away from this marriage. If it be possible, let me turn my back. It's so hard. And Jesus felt the weight of what he had to go through that he wanted to turn back. But he said, nevertheless.
That's good. KJ, you're sitting there. I'm looking at you right here, man.
Yeah. KJ, do you want to go next, KJ? Because I have a question for you guys. KJ, you want to go?
I got a question too. So
we all got questions. Go first, KJ.
I know in now's in our generation, there was a lot of like discrepancy and misinformation when it comes down to dating and just having a real like kingdom relationship. You've heard like the whole entanglement with like Will and Jada and all that. But if you had something to say to our generation that'll help us lay down a foundation or like get in the right mindset when it comes down to having a kingdom relationship, what would that be?
God.
Go ahead, woman of God.
God.
Huh?
Yeah, just God.
Yeah.
Just God. You cannot. You cannot. We just kind of had this experience with a young couple. If God is not at the center, if God is not your foundation, and I'm not even talking about jointly, I'm talking about individually, because what we are the evidence of is what personal relationship with God looks like. Because if I lacked a relationship with my Heavenly Father, I don't know where we would be or where I would be in our relationship, and vice versa. God keeps us connected. God keeps us grounded. And when you have God, the issue that I see in this younger generation and even the older generation who just thinks that marriage is simply about falling in love and that's it, is that God has to be at the center. God will show you how to maneuver. He will show you, give you strategy for a successful marriage, for a successful relationship. God gives you the standards. He sets the standards. And so we must, there are times when sometimes I couldn't hear him or make him hear me or vice versa. And give it a couple of weeks, I would get a, he'll come to me and say, babe, the Holy Spirit told me this. And how dare I try to get you to think this? Or how dare I try to, only God can do it. For you young people, I say, find yourself. Fall deep in love with you before you enter into covenant relationship with anybody else, because otherwise you will take love for me, your mistake need for love. So it's okay to be alone. It's okay to fall in love with you. It's okay to find you. It's okay to solidify your relationship with God first. That is a must. And then because there's this thing I tell my husband, he would say, I just love you so much. And my response was often, I know because I'm lovable. And here's why. Because there was a time I did not love me. And when God and it helped me to get up out of the gutter and to find out who I was and to love me, I then attracted love, if that makes sense. And so sometimes what a lot of young people do is you enter into something, you have not yet even learned how to love yourself. And so therefore you then attract the wrong kind of response from a partner. So you want to be lovable. So you want to love yourself so much that you are then lovable, and you want to love yourself so much so that you then know what to expect from a partner. They're not your savior. They're not the person, your knight in shining armor. And so because when we fail to love ourselves, when we fail to solidify a relationship with God, then we think that this person is supposed to be this superhero. And then when they come in and don't meet the standards that we set for them, now we want out. But the truth of the matter is, I had no business setting those standards, because you're not a superhero. You're a man or you're a woman. And so get to know yourself, fall so deep in love with yourself. So then when you get in that relationship, now my husband has to beat me loving me. I love me so much.
I love it.
So my standards are here. And you have to beat me. So now you join me. You have to. And so we start off with too small standards. And it's because we haven't taken time with ourselves and with our God.
Amen. Thank you for that. And Ron, you're going to say, because you let the woman of God go first, your answer to that question.
Well, I mean, she said so much there. But if I could just add to what she said, you know, because ultimately what she's saying will result in wholeness. If you go into a relationship and you're not whole, if you're trying to get out of the relationship something you should already have, then you're not going to get it. Like, sometimes we would trick ourselves to believe that we can have a happy relationship and not be a happy person. Happiness, joy, all of these things ought to grow out of your relationship with God. Therefore, you can give yourself wholly. You can't give yourself wholly if you're not happy. And you would do all these, and people would be like, well, I've done all this stuff, especially men. I pay the bills. I do all this stuff for her, but she's still not happy because you're not happy. And the energy behind it is not going to get what you want because you're operating with a partial heart. You're not whole yourself. So your relationship with God is going to bring you to a place of wholeness. Then that way you can give freely. It all starts with God. God is love. Love, agape. True love is not the stuff that we see today. True love has nothing to do with emotions. And sometimes you're going to have to love and you ain't going to feel like it. You know what I'm saying? Love is unconditional. And I'm telling you, you cannot give unconditional love if you do not know and grow in your relationship with God. It's impossible. That type of love only comes from God.
Amen. Agape. I like that. I love that. All right, Niles, you're going to ask your question. I'm going to be quiet.
Quickly, because we're getting to that point. But for people who are single to that dating process in a relationship, you mentioned the word confirmation. What did that confirmation look like from God when you guys knew, like, this is my husband, this is my wife?
You said, what does it look like?
Yeah, what did the confirmation look like for you guys when it came to this is my husband or this is my wife? Because a lot of us are looking for that sign, or we're not sure if this is the person in front of us. But I guess if we're not sure, then it may not be the right one. But yeah.
Go ahead, honey.
I will say this, because God, all right, it really depends on your spiritual senses, because when you train yourself to hear from God, and some people, this comes more naturally because of their calling. Prophets for example, hear the voice of God even from a child. You know what I'm saying? So as you grow in your relationship with God, you become more susceptible to his voice. There's sometimes, though, God will speak to you through teams. God will give you confirmations through other people. So God deals with everyone differently. And I say that because how it came for us is on the grounds of the level of sensitivity we are to the voice of God. You know what I'm saying? So God spoke and we act. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't need anything other than that. You know what I'm saying? But, but everyone is not at that place. Realistically, everyone is not in a place where they hear clearly from God. You know, so to answer your question, you know, however God deals with you, because God deals with everyone differently, you just know. You just get to the point where you know, you without a shadow of a doubt, God will give you that confirmation in your spirit, you know?
And you know what I would say, and the reason why I hesitated to answer is because God told me, just flat out, he told me, you know, he's your husband and you're going to marry him. But so what I would say to that, because everyone has a different, you know, like Apostle, like my husband just said, he everyone responds to God differently. Everyone hears from him differently. What I would honestly say is simply ask. It's okay to ask. Ask God, show me who this is. Show me. Am I wasting my time? Show me. Tell me. However, and Father God, make it plain to me. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to, he's a God who's not intimidated by our questions. I ask him everything all the time. And so what I always tell people is simply, it's okay to ask. Ask him, Father, show me, how do I know? How will I know? Show me when the one, or say to him, you know what, when it comes to this area of my life, I want to know. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that this is you. You know what I'm saying? Make it plain to me. And then I tell you what, it's important because say you go on and you get married, you're going to a place to where you're going to go back and question that initial confirmation. So make sure that you ask him to make it all the way plain. And when he does, you hold on to that. You hold on to that, because what we make is thinking that because God said it is going to be easy. It doesn't mean going to be easy. It doesn't mean you're not going to have growing pain, but remember the fact that you received confirmation and how clear it was to you.
I have a question about that. Even when you've had that confirmation, do you have even specks of doubt in the midst of like, okay, I don't know how this is going to work, but I know you said this.
You said, do you?
Mm-hmm. Did you have
yes.
that? Yeah, like waves like, okay, maybe, nope, yes, no. Yes, no.
Well, I'll say this about me. When God says do a thing, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. He told me to come to California, I'm going to get there. I am the type that if God says jump in the lake, I'm going to jump in. And then I'm going to say, now what? Mm-hmm. So for me, God said, I did, and then question. You know what I'm saying? It was after the fact. I'm like, what? Why? Are you sure? Are you tripping? You know, I am the type that, as he said, it was 3 months later. So I said yes, and we proceeded to plan, and we did what he said do. And probably the next day, I said, okay, now what? That's just the way I'm going to do it. So for me,
For us, it was more a matter of obedience more so than confidence if it was the right one or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, are we going to listen to God? Are we going to follow through with what God is saying? You know what I'm saying? Because both of us, you know, had those moments where we wanted to give up. You know what I'm saying? And even in giving up, I never said, God, it's not you. This must not have been you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, it's too hard. You know, that type thing, you know?
I do want to ask this question, and I know that it's a taboo in our community. It's a taboo for a lot of people, but I want to talk on just a little bit about sex, you know, how in this culture of everything being sexism, how do you keep yourself so focused? And if you're dating, or if you're waiting to be dated, or if you're looking for that date, how do you keep yourself chaste, for lack of a better word?
Babe, you want to answer this?
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I mean, honestly, that's a great question, Dr. Scott, because a lot of us have been down that journey of being single and saved, and some of us have done better than others in keeping ourselves, you know what I'm saying? And ultimately with that, though, because the flesh is so weak, you know, the best way, if to be celibate or to keep yourself from crossing that line, and you know that's an area that you're struggling, you know, the best thing is to do is to keep, you know, is to not put yourself in situations. Never put confidence in the flesh first and foremost. And then continue to lean on the Holy Spirit and trust in the Holy Spirit, you know, to keep you in that area. But if I could kind of comment on, I want to kind of comment on it from a little bit of a different perspective. Like, even sex, even once you get married, like, you have to get your flesh under control. Because if you don't get your flesh under control, you would psych yourself to believe if you just get married, then you would get this lust under control. And then you'll get married, and then you would struggle while you're married being faithful to your spouse. Because the problem wasn't with the sex before marriage. The problem was the lust that you have in your heart. You understand?
With that, and I don't want to cut you off because this is so good. I don't want to rush this. If you've got just a few minutes, we'll continue this. And would you record this for us, KJ, if you follow me where I'm going with this? All right, because I don't want to rush this. There are a lot of people that need to hear this. I will say this. I am so grateful for both of you taking time out of your busy schedules, joining us here on the Dr. Tanju Show. Thank you so, so very much. And I do not take that lightly nor for granted. I am grateful for LA Talk Radio allowing us to be in this space at this time every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also, you can join us on the Dr. I think it's Talk to Tanji, excuse me, Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But I am going to continue. We're going to continue just a few minutes of your time with this on another link so we can get this out to the masses. Again, thank you, Niles and KJ. Thank you for being a part of this show and making it happen. I'm your girl, Dr. Tanji, and I stand ready to serve. See you next time. Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Tanji Show with Dr. Tanji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.